This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Thursday, July 29th. Well, wheat markets were higher again yesterday, led by Minneapolis, needless to say, and row crops were fairly quiet. Corn and beans both just kind of chopping around sideways. Beans getting a little bit of bullish enthusiasm, but corn was fairly flat for the day. In the wheat complex, of course, we have the spring wheat tour going on, and yields there are about as expected, which is pretty bad. After the second day, they've got yields at around 24.6 bushels an acre, which is 40% below the five-year average. They're going to tour northeast North Dakota today, and then we'll have the final summary this afternoon. But, it's no surprise that they're finding a disaster out there. We've been monitoring it every day, and it's not getting better. There's just intense heat, dryness, drought across the entire northern plains, much of the central plains, and pushing into the western Midwest and northern Midwest. So it encompasses all of spring wheat country, and of course that pushes up into Canada as well. So this is what has turned the wheat market from a following sort of bull market that was just following corn's bull market into its own bull market that can stand on its own legs. And we've seen that the last few sessions where corn and beans have really not been able to do anything, and yet the wheat market has managed to push higher and respond significantly to the issues going on. It's also, we're also looking at world production for spring wheat taking a hit, not just here in the United States, but again, also in Canada and over in the Black Sea, where much of Russia's spring wheat country has faced notable weather problems, as has Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan has already moved to limit wheat exports. Russia, their export tax declined a bit, but we don't see that tax going away. The Russian government is, the weather department is already downgrading the Russian wheat crop, largely because of spring wheat problems. They're taking total wheat production down to about 75 to 79 million tons, whereas USDA had them at 85 million tons, close to the record from last year. That's just not going to be the case in an upcoming USDA reports. And again, it's largely because of spring wheat. So when you look around the world, virtually all but maybe one, Ukraine does raise some spring wheat as well. Ukraine's going to have a good crop. Other than that, spring wheat production around the world is taking a massive hit. And that's your high pro hard wheat, your highest quality wheat that's out there. And all the major areas, again, except one, is taking a pretty big production hit. It's turning the entire wheat complex into a bull market. And I think that moving forward, there's some pretty heavy lifting to do, because how are you going to increase spring wheat acres when corn and soybean prices are where they are as well? And they could be on the cusp of something bigger too. So it's, and demand is huge for both corn and beans. So, and you're going to find more spring wheat acres primarily in North Dakota, somewhat in Montana, who have fewer options, but North Dakota has a lot of options all the way to the western border of North Dakota. You could be looking at all kinds of crops to plant rather than spring wheat. So the spring wheat is going to have to maintain these values and likely continue to move higher just to get into the farmers' crop plans as they settle down for the winter. So I don't see Minneapolis giving up much. We've had a correction. We tested a breakout, and the market has snapped back fairly impressively from that, and it's leading the winter wheats higher as well. And there's really very little to stand in the way of winter wheat moving higher. Harvest is largely done around the northern hemisphere, and if you're going to see cash pressure, it would have happened by now, and primarily from Russia. But again, you've got an export tax that's a floating tax, so you're never really sure what it is. So exporters have not been very aggressive in offering wheat onto the market. In addition, Russian farmers, primarily in the southern region, who didn't have a great crop last year, who have storage capacity now, are storing it and they're not moving very much into the market. They're holding out for higher prices, and that's bumping up Russian prices. Their FOB offers were up $10 a ton in 1 week last week. And I would expect that we're going to continue to see those offers stay firm. Egypt's purchase earlier this week of 180,000 tons of Romanian and Ukraine wheat at $245 was up $14 just in the last 2 weeks. So everything is elevating higher. Harvest pressure is largely behind us, and wheat prices are moving higher as we continue to watch the North American spring wheat crop get pummeled. And we're watching the Black Sea spring wheat crop get pummeled as well. It's a stark contrast from where we were just a few months ago. In export sales this morning, we had wheat at 510,000 tons. That was in the range of estimates. China was the biggest buyer at 128,000 tons, and all of that was hard red winter wheat. In corn sales, 414,000, that was within the range of estimates. China canceled 119,000 tons of old crop. In soybeans, 232,000 tons total. That was at the low end of the range of estimates. China bought 121,000 of new crop. So export sales, you know, not expected to be big for row crops, and that's pretty much where we're at. Wheat is starting to pick up. 510, it's a pretty good number on top of a solid number last week. You know, propels us forward into a strong, steady environment of export sales. And we expect that you're going to continue to see that as demand starts shifting around here. Again, with Russia not being very aggressive with their FOB offers, it does push demand to other locations. And world prices moving higher keeps the U.S. in the mix as far as, you know, the broader world export market. A couple other things, excuse me, the Bunge CEO was talking about China's corn demand and how the rebuilding of the hog herd is by itself going to prompt a notable increase in imports of corn. But also China's ban last year of feeding food waste to hogs, which was largely blamed for much of the ASF outbreak, that's just going to shift demand from that over to corn. So it increases their import needs of corn primarily. And when you look at the disaster that has unfolded in Brazil's corn crop this year, it pushes far more demand to North America, to the United States primarily. Ukraine will pick up some of that business, but most of that increase in business from the lack of Brazil sales will come to the United States. And it'll come toward late summer and through the fall when they normally comes for us, but it will probably happen a little bit sooner in late summer simply because Brazil's just not going to have it available. In addition to all that, the drought that's going on in South America is lowering river levels, and that is forcing barge traffic to slow down and have lighter loads as well. So there's talk that Argentina will see a 40% drop in barge capacity simply to make it able to move down the river. It's pretty stark situation going on down there. And again, that just makes exports all the more difficult, more expensive, and pushes more demand to the United States. So interesting development there coming at a time when demand for corn in particular is just skyrocketing, primarily from China. Now let's look at weather. Of course, it's just going to continue hot and dry across the northern plains. The Midwest, the central plains, and the western Midwest, the high pressure ridge is going to shift away from that for a few days. It's going to come back to normal temperatures. But in the longer range forecast, they are bringing that high pressure ridge back to the central plains and the western Midwest, and along with some dryness. There are some rains forecast for these next few days in the Dakotas and western Iowa. They're going to need it if it's going to turn hot and dry again. So as we move into August, this presents some interesting scenarios that, like last year where it was a late drought that shaved off yields, the market's going to be paying a lot more attention to that this year. And in a year where you simply just can't afford those kinds of losses, coming off the back of last year, coming off production losses in South America, the last thing the market can really stand is to have yet another notable drop in yields. The southern and eastern part of the Midwest, they're fine. They've got plenty of moisture, and they really haven't had the intense heat the way the Central Plains and the Western Midwest has. So it's Minnesota, Iowa, the Dakotas, northern Missouri to some degree, Nebraska, Kansas. It's a big area. And again, the heat is forecast to come back. We'll just see if that stays in the forecast as we get into early next week. If that's still lingering, then I think the markets will probably react. It's been a very sluggish trade, or price action for corn and beans over these last several weeks, and we're just chewing up a lot of time. But again, August will be almost as important as July for crop production, and with the dryness that's already been plaguing much of the western Midwest and the northern plains, it wouldn't really take that much to really set this thing off. But you're going to need to see the heat return along with some dryness in order for that to happen. But the bottom line for wheat is that we're in a bull market. The breaks have clearly been well supported. Our seasonal lows are in, and I think we just continue to move higher into the normal seasonal pattern in the fall, which usually takes us at least into early October before you start getting more choppy price action. My guess is you'll just stay strong into early December before you start to calm down, and we'll see what the crop from Argentina and Australia is. But at least in early October, I would expect the wheat markets to do quite well. We'll get our pullbacks, but I think they will be well supported. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.